بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Yesterday we finished off Surah Ali Imran, and today we will be continuing from Surah An-Nisa. So firstly, Surah Nisa. Nisa in the Arabic language is the plural for the word woman. So it literally means women. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks a lot about the rights and responsibilities of women. And one very important thing we should all keep in mind is that we all like to fight for our rights, but none of us like to mention our responsibilities. Islam is a balanced religion. There's no such thing as demanding a right without having responsibilities. If you are going to gain a right from something, that means there are responsibilities you have to fulfill. You have the right to earn wealth, but you have the responsibility to spend it correctly, which is one of the subjects of the surah over and over again. So there are many things like that. If there is a right, there is a responsibility, and that is how Islam has set up the system of equity throughout all people. So now the connection between the previous surah and this surah is the last surah ended off with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. That fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gain the taqwa of Allah. Why? So you may be successful. And of course, one of the primary reasons for our goals in Ramadan is, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that we gain taqwa. As I've been mentioning over and over and over again, the goal of Ramadan is to gain taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended off Surah Ali Imran by telling us to gain taqwa, to have the taqwa of Allah. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off by saying, Ya ayyuhan nasu taqwa rabbakum. He starts off by saying, O people, have fear of Allah, have taqwa again. So he ended off the previous surah saying, have taqwa, and he starts off this surah by saying, have taqwa. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts elaborating ways to have taqwa. But there's something very, very important here. We're all thinking that, having taqwa means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to mention a bunch of things about spirituality. That's not what happens at all. For the first few pages, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discuss about gaining taqwa? He discusses things about marriage. He discusses things about rights of orphans. He discusses things about inheritance. He discusses things about our conduct with our spouse. He discusses things about who you can marry, who you cannot marry. He discusses things about laws of marriage. He discusses things about conduct between a husband and wife. So he discusses all of these things. So the question is, if Allah is telling us to have taqwa, and then he starts listing all of these things that have to do with our social conduct, then what connection does all of this have with taqwa? And remember, our goal in Ramadan is to gain taqwa. So what connection does this have with taqwa? So there are two types of rights. Number one, there are those types of rights that can be maintained by law enforcement and the government, such as buying and selling things, transactions, those types of things. But then there are second type of rights. What are those types of rights? Rights of orphans, spouses, children. All of these types of rights require self-civilized behavior and, more importantly, taqwa. Because anyone can lie about how they're treating their spouse. Anyone can lie about how they're treating their children. So a lot of this requires taqwa on our own end in order for us to fulfill these rights. So now the reason I'm mentioning this, of course, is part of the surah, but another very important point here is the attitude we have in this pandemic will also clearly exhibit this aspect of our taqwa. That how are you behaving with those in your household? When you are having hard times, are you still upholding the rights of others, or are you only caring about yourself and your own well-being? Because there are two types of people. There are those people that care, especially about this pandemic specifically, they're those people that care about others. They're doing the social distancing, they're taking all the precautions, and then you have those types of people who don't care about anyone else except themselves. They don't take any precautions. They just say that I'll survive because I'm so young and who cares if some old people die. That's their mentality, so they don't care about anything. So keep in mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling in this surah that there are two parts of taqwa. One is about salah, fasting, hajj, and all those things. And the other part is how we behave with others. And when it comes to behaving with others, it's about compromising for other people's sake. If you're only thinking about me, that's not taqwa. That's the opposite of taqwa. So it is a part of our taqwa to act in accordance to the well-being of others. We have to look at the well-being of others, and based on that, we should act how Allah wants us to act. That is what this surah is talking about, and that is another part of taqwa that many of us do not do in Ramadan. Because we think taqwa is simply just praying lots of salah, fasting, hajj, making lots of dua, that's it. This surah is telling us that no, taqwa has an entirely different sphere. So once again, each Ramadan, we attempt to gain taqwa, so we must attempt to gain all parts of taqwa, even the social aspects of it, as especially outlined in this surah. Now, going forward, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many different things throughout the surah. So one ayah that is very important is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّمَا تَوْبُتَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ سُوَ بِجْهَالَةٍ وَلَيْسَ لِلْتَوْبُتَ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ سَيِّئَاتٍ. He says that there are two types of people that make tawbah. In this month, all of us should be making tawbah every single night, if not throughout the entire day. But Allah says there are two types of people that make tawbah. Number one, those who commit evil out of ignorance. Then right after that, for whatever reason it is, accidentally, forgetfully, even on purpose, they do something wrong, they commit a sin. But right after that, they remember Allah and they do tawbah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about these sinners, these people that may eventually make tawbah, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah accepts their tawbah. The second type of people are those people that commit evil. Then they keep putting off the tawbah, thinking that it's okay, whatever, I'll live, I have such a long life, I'll make tawbah later, until finally death comes to them. And when death comes to them, then they finally try to make tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about these people, أُولَٰئِكَ عَتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. For these people, we have prepared a very painful punishment. And now this pandemic that we see here is a sign for us to make tawbah before things are too late. Some people are going on with their day like normal. You are in the middle of a pandemic. But it would just rain outside, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would turn to salah and turn to Allah. But it would only rain. Here you have something that's afflicting the entire world. There are people passing away throughout the entire world. There are people in our community that are passing away because of this pandemic. So Allah is giving us a reminder like He gave reminders to the nations before us. There's no prophet here, but it's still a reminder. And how merciful is Allah? So look at the mercy of Allah. How merciful is Allah that in this reminder through this pandemic, Allah is making it even easier. Some people might be like, oh, it's a pandemic, who cares, not making tawbah, not doing anything. But in order to force those people to, He placed Ramadan in the middle of the pandemic as well. He placed Ramadan in the midst of all of this to push us even further to make tawbah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this surah, وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah wants you to make tawbah. He wants to accept your tawbah, but you need to take the first step. In relation to this, there's a hadith in Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shaybah rahimahullah, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to one man. He told him, اغتنم خمسا خمس قبل خمس. Take benefit from five things before five things come overtake you. What are those five things? He said, حَيَاتَكَ قَبْلَ مَوْتِكَ. Take benefit from your life before death comes to you. وَفَرَاغَكَ قَبْلَ شُغْلِكَ. Take benefit from your free time before you are so busy. And right now, all of us have so much more free time. وَغِنَاكَ قَبْلَ فَقْرِكَ. Take advantage of your wealth before you end up hitting poverty. May Allah not make any of us hit poverty, but nevertheless, that's happening to some people right now. They may have wanted to make sadaqah before, but now they can't. So take advantage of it. وَشَبَابَكَ قَبْلَ حَرَمِكَ. And your youth before old age comes upon you. Even those people that are really, really old, 50, 60, you still maybe have not reached that point where you can't even pray salah and you cannot do anything. So take advantage of that as well. وَصِحَّتَكَ قَبْلَ سَقَمِكَ. And the most important, and your health before you become sick. Young people are passing away too. Statistically, it's very, very low. It's very, very, very low. But young people are passing away from this. So that is a very important lesson for us all. Moving forward, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the harms of shirk and disbelief in this surah with a lot of detail and the reward for those who believe. He mentioned in this surah about Jahannam. He says, كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ. Those people that are in Jahannam, he says about them that whenever their skin ends up burning because of the fire of Jahannam, Allah is going to replace it so they can taste more of the punishment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from it. Mm-hmm. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about returning trust to people. If you have a promise, make sure you fulfill it. If you have something belonging to someone else, give it to people. He talks about making salam, that when someone makes salam to you, say the equal salam. Someone says assalamu alaikum, say assalamu alaikum, or say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So always say something equal or better. Then he talks about blood money, concept of making hijrah, leaving a land when it's too hard to follow religion and deen. He talks about a salah you pray only at the times of war. There are many hikmah, there are many wisdoms in this, and I'll just leave it for now. He talks about the treatment of wives and how to settle disputes when there are marital disputes happening between individuals. What are they supposed to do in that situation? Especially it talks about arbitration over here. We're not going to go into it, of course. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the attitude of the hypocrites, and that is on the last page, and I wanted to end off with this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the hypocrites that innal munafiqeen khadi'un Allah wa huwa khadi'uhum. They're living a life where they're thinking that they are all pious and everything, and they're deceiving Allah while they're deceiving only themselves. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes hypocrites, and let's listen to this very closely. How does Allah describe the hypocrites? He says that they do two things. They do them. What are the two things that they actually do? They go for salah. They stand up and they pray salah. And number two, they make the dhikr of Allah. They remember Allah. These are two attributes of hypocrites. They're praying salah and they're making the dhikr of Allah. But what is the difference? When they stand up for salah, qamu kusala, they are very lazy about it. They're lazy about it. And when they make the dhikr of Allah, لا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا, they only do it just very, 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 very little. Why are they doing all of these things? To show off to people. So ask yourself the question, when salah time comes, are you getting up for Allah or are you getting up because someone else is telling you to do it? Are you making a dhikr of Allah because people are looking at you right now, or are you doing it because you want to legitimately please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is all because now, when it comes to the hypocrites, as mentioned in other surahs like Surah Tawbah, they would also make excuses for themselves. They would not pray salah. They would be lazy in praying salah. They would not make so much dhikr. When they would be questioned by Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would make up many, many excuses. I'm busy with this. I have work. I have this. I have that. So what about us? In our situation right now, what about us? We're stuck in our homes in this pandemic. What excuse do we have now to not remember Allah? The hypocrites had their excuses, which are of course invalid, but they had their excuses, they had their work, they had their jobs, whatever was happening, they had all those excuses, they were going out and about. But now Allah has left us in a situation where almost all of our excuses are gone. We are almost left with absolutely no excuses, and there's Ramadan here too. So we should retrospect about our lives and ask ourselves the question, what am I doing with my life? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the last verse that we read today, look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. What is Allah going to gain by giving you a punishment? إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. If you are thanking Allah and you are believing in Allah. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. Allah is very grateful to his servant. He accepts all of our thanks and he knows everything that's going on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as you're worshipping Allah and you're thanking Allah by worshipping and making tawbah, Allah of course will not punish us. But he's saying that what will he get from punishing you otherwise? So it's something very easy that is being asked for us. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah will accept us. But we need to make that first step, and Allah has made the situation such where we're strategically speaking, we are in the perfect position now to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to act upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.